Now we submit our minds, our hearts to you. We declare our mind is alert and our lips are anointed. And Father, the word that come out of our mouth shall be fire to your people. And it shall be wood. And it shall bring a connection. And bring a connection to the heart of God. We thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Amen. All right, raise your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, and repeat after me. Shout, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am.
What it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I'm a believer,
not a doubter.
Not a doubter. Faith come by hearing,
and
hearing by
the word of God.
I shall be taught faith today,
and my life
shall never,
never, never, never
be the same again
after
hearing
the word of faith.
People are coming
from the north,
from the south,
from the east,
and from the west.
They're coming.
The word of life,
the wave church,
the city church,
to be healed,
delivered,
transformed,
and blessed
in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. God keep you. May you see. Thank you for coming. Of all the good churches, you came to a great church, truly a church like none other. We're in our lesson this morning. We're talking about shot the four cups. We started last week talking about the four promises. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7. This morning we started our growth track and we talked about church membership 101. We talked about the value of membership and talking about how you can get involved. Because once you're saved, you ought to be baptized and you ought to connect to a church. That's the progression of your Christian life. You're not gonna grow spiritually just getting saved. Getting saved is good, but that's just not enough. That's not enough. And most Christians never advance beyond salvation. So this morning I want to pick up. I really want to go up to one of the cups this morning. I'll talk about this morning the cup of sanctification. Shout the cup. Sanctification. Now in this we kind of went through the four cups last week. And we told you about what happened at the Passover there. And this juice is good and cold, y'all. It's going to be hard to resist the drink today. Praise the Lord. So on that night, they had the Lord's Supper. We call it the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, the Passover. There were four cups. You know, when we do communion, we only have one cup out there. I say one cup. We don't have the cup. Now, we get past the little you know, the thing with the bread and wafer together, and you tear it off, you eat it, you know, little disposable stuff. But what they had four cups. And these four cups, they pertain to a promise. Each cup has a promise. And God promised to bless us with out of each one of these promises. It found Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 7. It said, chapter 6, verse 6, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptian. So in this, just a short review, we see here that on that night, we only talk about one cup as though everything was one. But in the Jewish community, they know and they understand that were four cups, and they still practice today with four cups. Okay, when they do communion, they got four cups, and they recite the same verse today. And so in this process, in the cup of sanctification, God, I'm going to bring you out. Now, we find in Luke 22:17, I told you last week that look at Luke 22, verse 17. He said, and he took the cup and gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. So they all drank out the same cup. There wasn't no, you know, disease thing because, number one, the blood, shot the blood, it cures any disease. When you take communion, when you receive communion, and there's an end of your body, you ought to be healed. Hallelujah. We are not taught that part about communion. Communion will provide healing for your body. So we understand now, I'm partaking of the blood of Jesus. So they said, now you take this cup, and he get a drink, and Peter passed on to John, and John passed on to Matthew, and et cetera. All 12 of them drank out the same glass. That's good, isn't it? You get your eye. I ain't drink my nobody, Pastor. Get my own cup. There were not 52 cups. whatever, 4 times 12, 48, plus Jesus had 4, 52 cups, right? So all of them had no 4 glasses apiece. They all had 1 glass, and each 1 glass for each promise. So there are 4 promises, the 4 promises that he promised them. That was the cup. Today we're going to talk about the cup of sanctification. So in this now, God always made promises. Last week we talked about the promise they made here in Ezekiel, in the Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and verse 7. We talked about those promises because God always keeps his promise. Now we also, now I call them, the Jews call them the 4 I wills, because they said, I will do this 4 times. I call them the 4 cornerstones because we're building on that. This is what Church 101 is all about. Then you go to Essentials 201. You go to Discovery 301 and go to Dream Team 401, because each one of them is to build your life, to move you forward and cause a growth in your life where you don't be stuck on the seat or do nothing. Look at how many Christians this morning never get past 201. All they knew about what the Bible says, they never discover the gifts, never discover the talent, so they sit in church bored when they come. But once you are walking in 401, which is fulfillment, you are walking in your destiny and your promise. So this morning, he said, I'm going to bring you out. Now, how Israel got to this place, give you a short story how they got to the place where God had to bring them out of Egypt. And you know the story when God told Abraham in chapter 15 of Genesis, that, hey, that your descendants or your seed shall go in captivity for 400 years. 400 years. And then God said, when they come out, I'm gonna reward these people for dealing with you harshly. God said, I'm gonna whip them up, man. You know, just a side note for a moment. And we are streaming, right? Hello, streaming team. Praise the Lord. Africa, listen to me today. I can't say what I want to say now. But I'm gonna say it because I'm big, bad, and bold. All right, now I'm over 21. Okay. So we said there are black people in the Bible. And I agree with that. And some of the black people were Philistines. And Egypt was a black nation. Okay, these people dealt harshly with God's people. Y'all all right? And God promised, I'm going to punish them for how they treated Israel when they were in captivity for 400 years. Y'all good? Now, if these promises, the 4 I wills, are good for us today, I believe the punishment are still going on today. Now, I'm wondering why Africa cannot thrive like it's supposed to. Nobody ever told me this, but I'm wondering if Africa is a part of the people who did Israel wrong. No. It's the richest nation on the planet, the richest continent. Come on. There's gold, there's silver, there's diamonds. Africa has it. But they're struck with disease and poverty and lack and that's crook in the political arenas. And the money comes in and the people in the power that gets in, they hide it and they just make sure their little folk got in no more. So I'm wondering in the back of my mind, is this one of the people that punished Israel when they were in captivity? I don't know. It's a thought. And I haven't found nobody to answer that question for me. I guess most folks scared to talk about it because we are in grace, but God still got a promise. Shall God? She has a promise. And God's going to fulfill every word he promised. So Israel now, they go to captivity for 400 years. And we'll talk about that for her to get there. And so Joseph now, they sell Joseph. You know the story about Joseph, put him in the pit. His brothers and all, they take him out and let's sell him. So they send Joseph down to Egypt. Sold him. Joseph get in the part of the house and he began to work good because God was with him. His wife wanted to make Joseph go to bed with her. He said, no, I can't do that because your master gave me everything in the house and the only thing he kept back from me was you. And so she kept laying on Joseph, running behind Joseph. So one day Joseph in the house by himself, just the two of them, and she made a pass at Joseph and Joseph ran from her, but she snatched his coat off of him and she began to tell her husband, you brought this Hebrew in the house. Now he tried to make a pass at me, tried to rape me. So he put Joseph in prison. Long story short, Joseph got out of prison. Famine comes. Joseph began to have a plan from God how to bring him through the famine. Now he brings Jacob and the family down to Egypt. Now Pharaoh shows favor to Jacob and his family. 72 souls, I believe it is. Now he gives them the land of Goshen. Goshen was a land that was blessed when there was famine over there. So now we're in captivity. Been there for a while now. Now Joseph dies, and Exodus 1 talks about there's another king that did not know Joseph. Y'all all right? So this other king that did not know Joseph, he got afraid of Israel because they were multiplying so fast. I mean, when God is with you, man, all you can do is increase. God is on me, and I'm increasing more and more. You better open your mouth and increase. You know you need some increase in your life. You need some favor on you, baby. I know you ought to be tired of struggling, trying to make a note. Hallelujah. Trying to get gas to go to work next week. I don't know where I'm going to get, Lord Jesus, how am I going to get to work next week? Yeah, praise Lord Jesus. Praise Lord. Come on up, Pastor. Come on up. Come on up. Shut up, Pastor. Come on up. Okay. So now God told, he raised up a deliverer named Moses. Moses, you go tell my people now, I'm going to bring them out. It's time for Israel to come out. Shout, it's time to come out. No. It's time for you to come out. It's time for you to stop laboring now. It's time for you to stop suffering and it's time for you to stop going through so much. You know, every disease hits your house. Every poverty bug come by, you got to get it. When there's lack and they get laid off, it hits you. No, it's time to realize that God is on me. Shout, God is on me. No, you got to start declaring the favor of God on your life every day. I don't care who go down, I'm going up. The Bible says 1,000 to fall aside. And 10,000 at the right hand, but it won't come near me. Y'all won't touch me at all. So God said, now I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being a slave to them. I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will take you as my own people. So each promise was celebrated with 4 cups of wine. Every time that was a promise, and when they read this every year at the Passover. They take a cup of wine and they would drink to that. Man, like I said, by the time they get the 4 cup, they drunk. You know, they got to sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many know you drink? You'd be singing too if you were drunk. Right, Ray Ray? Look at me, Ray Ray. Let me see them eyes, boy. You been singing lately? No. Okay. All right. All right. Quit, Pastor. Be nice. You think of nobody. All right. So let's look here now. Salvation is what we call the cup of salvation. That's church 101. We find freedom. He said, I'm going to free you. That's 201. And that's understanding basic biblical Christianity. Then we're going to talk about restoration in discovery 301. And that's a cup of redemption. God want to redeem us. And then that's the fulfillment, the cup of praise, our present. I'm going to make you my own people. God's intent was to bring us out and put us in a group of people. We all be one. Isn't that good? He's going to bring us all out and put us into one group, and we're going to be happy in that group. I'm going to love my neighbor. My neighbor going to love me. I'm not going to mistreat anybody. I won't gossip. I won't lie. We're going to all be filled with the presence of God. That is, and I say that's the 4th cup because some people say, some theologians say Jesus did not drink from that cup. He said, I will not drink with you anymore until I do it with my Father and my kingdom, okay? So some theologians say the 4th cup, which was the cup of praise, the cup of his presence, was left empty. But they drank, but he didn't, okay? Now, let's look at our lesson this morning. God said, I'm going to bring you out from under the yoke. Under the yoke. Today, the cup of salvation bring you out and puts you in. Thank God for that. It brings him out. So this is God's greatest desire for us, that we come out of bondage. Oh, come on. He doesn't want you to be held captive to anything. So it's the first promise, it's the first cup, and it's the first step. The first promise, the first cup, the first step. We cannot enjoy the essentials of Christianity. We can't enjoy discovering our gifts and our talents. We can't enjoy gene work until we understand the first cup of salvation. I got to understand salvation or sanctification. Exodus 6 and 7 says, I will bring you out from under the yoke. That's where we all began, in some type of bondage. We all came. Y'all all right? Now look, he said, I'm going to bring you out, but he didn't qualify. If you living right, I'm going to bring you out. Well, if you know, like the man said, God can't save with tattoos. I don't got to get rid of tattoos. That's a lie. That was just some dumb preacher that we're talking about. God don't care where you are. He said, I'm going to bring you out. Isn't that good? He don't care what you've been doing. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to bring you out. No. I'm glad he got Willie Taylor and brought him out. Y'all ought to be glad for that too. So Leonard B. said, the devil's goal is to keep you as a slave in bondage. He doesn't want you free. You know the story. I love the story, man. Exodus 14. When Israel came out that night, or was it chapter 12, when they came out, the Bible says he chose his 600 servants and their chariots. He got and he pursued after Israel, going at them to bring them back in captivity. He said, why have I let them go for serving us? The devil doesn't like it when you get saved. He doesn't like it when you get born again. He sure don't like it when you find and discover who you are. He's really mad then. So the Bible says, he said, now, why have we let them go from serving us? He doesn't want you to stop serving him. The devil loves when you lie. Oh, he loves when you lie. That's why he loved me so good, man. I was a liar, man. I'll make up lies. I discover lies. I'll create a lie. Lying was just a normal way of living for me. If I didn't lie that day, I didn't have a good day. that's just the way I was. I was bad. I was a good servant, and I did not play church. I didn't fake holiness. Y'all all right? I was a devil, a real demon, and I needed help. I was in captivity. I thank God that somebody came and rescued me. You know, it's bad when you think you're going somewhere and you're not going nowhere. You all right? Okay. Let it. Where am I now? Oh, my Jesus. He said, now, I'm going to bring you from the, watch this now. I'm going to bring you out from the yoke of current conditions. That's slavery. I don't know what you yoked with this morning. I don't know what you're bound with. Isaiah 10:27 said the yoke shall. Isaiah 10:27 said the yoke shall be destroyed. See, and remove the burden taken off your neck, off your shoulders. Why? Because of the anointing. The anointing. He came to take the burden off your shoulder and the yoke from around your neck. He came to undo the heavy burden that the devil put upon you. Come on, man. We're gonna talk in a minute. He had them making bricks with no straw, and then they had to go gather their own straw. He just put a lot of bondage on people. The devil is not your friend. I don't know why people serve him. It's not what it is now. Letter D said, we're all slave to something. If nothing but a slave to ourselves. We're stuck on ourselves, egotistics. Got an ego problem. It's all about me. You know, my hair had to be right. I don't believe going out looking any kind of way. But, baby, you can spend 4 hours in the mirror trying to get one of those strains that's not going to lay down no way. You got a whole jar of royal crown on your head now. It's still sticking up. Y'all all right? Y'all said, what's royal crown? Yeah. Y'all don't use royal crown no more. Do they still make royal crown? They don't make royal crown? Yeah, they do. That the hot iron too, right? They're pressing here and they get you. All right. So my point is, we stuck on ourselves, man. It's all about me. Yeah, no, it's about me. I gotta be first. I believe being number one in heaven, but I don't believe pushing you down to get number one. We're in bondage ourselves. We are not trying to change you. Watch this now. I'm not trying to change you at this moment. That's gonna come later. I want you to make a connection. No, we're going to find out how to change. But this lesson, the cup of salvation, is not to change you. It's not to clean you up. It's just to get you in. No, we're going to go through the process. And the process, when you get to 201 and 301, we're going to really be clean by the time we get to 401 because you can't serve with dirty hands. Am I right? No. So your heart got to be clean. How many want a clean heart? We all should want a clean heart. Lord, clean me up. Put a new heart in me. Create a right spirit within me. So he said, what we're going to do now, we're just going to show you how to get connected, man. How to drink from the fresh cup. Shall I drink from the fresh cup? So, in the original story, we got there. I just told y'all my original, how we got there. I got ahead of myself. Now, watch this. Pharaoh kept them in bondage three ways. And the devil is still doing the same thing today. Number one, he forced them to hard labor, to slave, to make bricks. Number two, he murdered the babies. And number three, he had to collect their own straw. What that mean to me, Pastor? Let's find out. Forced as slaves to make bricks. Slaves. The second Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. You know, sometimes you may feel enslaved and in bondage, and you feel you're still forced to do what you don't want to do. You know, Pastor, I tried that, but I still got the same old problem. You slave. Pastor, I done all I can do, but this habit's still kicking me. I done went through all the emotional things. I jumped up 3 times, but turned around 7. I gave him $5, and my head's still spinning. And now, what's wrong? What's wrong? Okay, let's kind of help you today. So number one, slavery, slavery, slavery. Shout slavery. Y'all all right? Slavery. The definition of slavery, what I have here, submitting to a dominating influence that tells you how to live your life. Oh, that's so good. You're submitting to a dominating influence. Well, we may say, I'm not submitting to an influence, but what about a habit? Well, let's look at habits for eating. That's a bad habit, right? I got to have chocolate. When the doctor says no chocolate, you got to have sweets. You know when things that hurt your body and you can't let go, you're addicted. Right? No, really. Every addiction is not cracking cocaine. Y'all okay? No, that's some addiction. You know, like I said a while ago, I'm addicted to self. You know, I just got to make sure that I'm, you know. So look at it now. You feel trapped. Look at John 8:34 and 35. I'm going to read it from the Ghetto Bible. That's a Message Bible. I don't like Message Bible, but in this lesson, it serves a lot of good points, man. Watch this. So I had to repent. I told my wife today, she said, I thought you liked the Ghetto Bible. That means the Message Bible. But it has some good points, man. Watch this. I'm going to give kudos for the Message Bible. John 8, 34 and 35. Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly, that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. A slave is a transit who can't come and go at will. Oh, my God. Now, if that ain't good preaching, I don't know what good preaching is. She said, I tell you, anyone who chooses a life of sin, so to choose a sinful life is a choice. You make the choice of sin. The devil can't make you sin. He influences you. He entices you. He can't make you steal. Y'all all right? I told y'all about my apple and peanut story. Y'all want to know because y'all knows it. I didn't tell y'all last week. I made reference to it, but I'm going to tell you about my apple and peanut story. Y'all all right? So I go to the store the other day and I buy a bunch of product and stuff. And I did the self-checkout at Walmart there. And I don't know what I'm doing at the thing. No way. So I'm doing the best I can, finding my way out. And then you got to look up this and look up that. So I have my apples and peanuts in the bottom of the basket. And I'm putting bags on top of it. So I get out to the car, to the truck, man. I discovered that peanuts and apples in my bag. I said, did I pay for these peanuts? Did I pay for the apples? Now, pastor, become a shoplifter. All right. So I check my receipt out. And I said, I didn't pay for the peanuts. I didn't pay for the apples. It was a mistake. It was an honest mistake. Okay. So now the devil comes up to play. If you go back in there, they're going to get you for shoplifting. You ready out now? You ready out? Just put them on. Go home with them. Well, but my integrity, shout integrity. See, the Bible said the integrity of the upright will guide him. That's so good, Willie Taylor. See, when you drink from the fresh cup, you get integrity. And the integrity of the upright tell you, hey, you can't steal. Shout, I can't steal. The devil can't make me steal. He told me to keep them. I said, no, I'm turning around. I'm carrying my receipt back in there. I'm going to tell them folk I forgot to pay for them. And so I'm walking back to the store. I goes in the door. By the time I get in the door, there's a rest open. Holy Ghost said, go over there and pay for them now. Y'all all right? No. I can't walk out and steal the people's stuff. Y'all okay? I know. Look, I'm out of the door. It was a simple mistake. I didn't mean to do it. But when I discovered it, I made it right. See, that's drinking with the fresh cup. Out of the store, and I said, thank you, Pastor. If you steal, don't come to my store. Get a bar card of the next door, right? No. But the whole point about this here, when you're under the influence of sin, when you choose a life of sin, you are trapped. And a trusted means people go to and fro. He said, you are trapped when you're a trusted person and you can't go at will. I want to stop, but I just can't stop. I don't want to go, but, you know, I don't want to go to the girl house again, but I just got to go over there. Y'all don't like me now. Let's stop right there. Stop right there, Pastor. Stop right there. I need my wine cup right now. Shoot. I'm about to drink this stuff today, doctor. This is hot up here now. Shoot. Hallelujah, all right? Praise the Lord. No, when I drink from that cup, man, it's getting my life right. Oh, Jesus. Let it be said. You probably said it this way. I feel trapped. Everybody ever felt trapped before? Feel trapped by debt, by relationships, by expectations of others. You know, you need to know, if you enter into a relationship, understand what they expect out of you. And let them know what you expect out of them. I talked to a pastor that he wanted to go and business with another pastor. I said, be careful who you go to bed with. Y'all right? If you're going to get involved with a business deal, know the integrity of the person you're going to get involved with. I don't care if you're a Christian, we're in the same church. I don't know your integrity. Hallelujah, Willie Taylor, by yourself. Because everybody got the collar on back, don't mean they're righteous. No, know the integrity of the person you're going to tie it with. Same thing about marriage. Because, see, the expectation of others let us down, and you feel trapped in that marriage. We feel trapped by guilt, by fear, by anger, by bitterness, by schedules. So the habits of slavery to sin, you know, you can end up serving sin, but you don't have to. Shout, I'm not a servant to sin. Go to Romans chapter 7. Shout, freedom from slavery. This cup going to free you from slavery. He said, I'm going to bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Egyptians are type of the world, the type of sin. He said, I'm going to bring you out. Romans 7:24, the Message Bible said, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question anyway? At the end of my rope, nothing helps. But the cup, shot the cup. So you got to take the fresh cup, man. You got to make a move. Shall I make a move? So he says now, look, Romans 7:25, Amplified. I mean the Message Bible. There again, my buddy, I'm about to claim him as my friend. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God and with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Yeah, Jesus came to set me free and to give me freedom, but I'm pulled by the tensions and the attractions of this life, which make me want to do something different. It doesn't matter about what I'm tempted with. Shout, temptation is not sin. It's not sin to be tempted. Don't feel guilty because you've been tempted. We've all been tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he sinned not. We don't have to sin because we're tempted. Temptation just simply means that you are of a good quality. Oh, that's so good. I like that. You ought to tweet that. It means I'm a good quality, and the devil wants you to miss it. He wants to blow your mind and mess up your reputation and mess up your integrity. Wouldn't it be something on the front page of the Daily News, pastor guilty of shoplifting from Walmart? And then they said, all he got was a bag of apple and a bag of peanuts. Wouldn't that hurt my integrity so around the city and pastor and people who had coverage of me? They never explained that it was an accident. Didn't mean to do it, but the whole bottom line was he got caught for shoplifting. So the devil want to hold you in captivity. He want to keep you in slavery. So number two said, number one, he forced them as slaves to make bricks. The devil will force you to do stuff you don't want to do. But remember, you don't have to give in to the devil. I got to hurry up, man. Number two, the murder of the babies. He called it the murder of babies. Watch it. So God's people were multiplying so fast that Pharaoh got afraid. He said, man, they outgrowing us. They're gonna overtake us. We'll be their servants, and they'll be our bosses. And you know, all right? Watch this now. So go to John 10:10. The devil has always tried to kill God's people. It's good. John 10:10 said, the thief coming but not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So he want to kill the threat of the sons of God coming forth. Murdering babies. He only got the males. You know, I believe that the rate of black men in prison is by design. I don't think it's because we're all rogues and we're all drug addicts. They just got a guy out of jail, other than been there for 30 years, something he didn't do. the five, when we were the five to three up in Detroit somewhere, got free the other day a couple months ago because of something. It's been 10, 15, 20 years in prison. What it is, that took them out of circulation. Now they can't fulfill destiny. He murdered babies, cut them off the males. So this represents what the devil is trying to do to you, trying to steal your potential, destroy your potential. You have potential. You have there's potential in me. See, we're going to help you in this lesson, the growth track. He'll help you discover your potential, help you find out where you are. See, it's important to know where you are. I told you, I said earlier, about time, I don't want to get there, but I got to cut something out. So, two great days in your life. Day one is when you're born, your birthday. And day two is when you discover why you were born. People go through life never knowing why they were born, what I'm here for. And people are always talking about, I don't know why I'm here. What's my purpose in life? Well, what I'm supposed to do? Well, we're going to help you in this lesson. So help me, Pastor. So number three, Pharaoh stole their future. Drowning babies stole the future. He keeps them from the potential of becoming great leaders, robbing the world of scientists, engineers, doctors, and lawyers. Pharaoh is still, let us see, Pharaoh is still destroying potential today. How? Watch this now. He's still destroying potential today. How that? Through high school dropout, through teen pregnancy, through substance abuse, through false imprisonment. And the list goes on and on. How he's robbing people. Y'all okay? Take your son now. Now, we talked Wednesday night about generation. How you ought to set your boy down and your girl and tell them what God has done. Run them through the scriptures, man, how God blessed them. That's what these four our wheels about. Tell them what God has done for you, how God brought them out. Set your child down. Don't let them go through life dumb. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. You know, they don't tell you about Black History School anymore. They do little stuff, but they don't go in detail. Because they're afraid you will find out that we've invented more great things than they want you to know about, and you become dominant. Y'all all right? Like Pharaoh, you be smarter than they are. Don't like me now. Praise the Lord. All right. Number four, some of you may say, Pastor, I feel this way today. I feel trapped. You ask, why am I so unsatisfied? Why am I so empty? Why I feel like just giving up? Because I'm just going through the motions. You look at the faces of the people in church. A lot of people are there because they don't know. Well, I'm just here. I'm here. I don't know. I don't want to be here, but I'm really here. I know Pastor said it's exciting to come to Growth Track, so I'm going to come to what Growth Track is all about. I'm going to really see if that can really help me because, you know, I'm dissatisfied. I don't know. I'm trying to find my purpose. I'm trying to find my way. Is it really for me? I'm going to get out of my bed early. I'm going to go. Yeah, but I don't really want to go. I'm just hoping something will work out for me. You're going through the haystack trying to find a needle in it. But I want you to settle down and take a drink from the fresh cup. So that's what 101 is all about. Going to help you discover your gift. So the tragedy in life is this. The tragedy in life is not death. It's going your entire life without knowing purpose. That's a tragedy. Wasted all the years not knowing purpose. I remember when I was a little boy coming up, we worked for this guy in the field. And I remember clearly that day. He hired my brother to clean up what's called new ground. New ground is where they cut the trees down and dig the stumps up. Now you got to get roots out of the ground. We go through and pick up roots and little small sprigs that's in the way. So he didn't hire me. He hired my brother. You know, I worked all day with my brother and that man that paid me nothing. All day. I wasted all day in another man's field and didn't get rewarded for it. Don't go through life that way. Go through life searching and trying to find your way in the wrong field and you're not satisfied. Y'all okay with Willie Taylor? Okay, my God. Okay, story of my pre-Jesus script. How the devil tried to rob me of my potential. Many of y'all know my testimony about this Sunday night I was in a nightclub. Little small hole about big as this right here, you know. It wasn't bigger than the church, but this side right here. And 150 black folk up in there. And we all dancing to Johnny Taylor. And I started to pull up some of his stuff. I did yesterday. I pulled up some of Johnny Taylor's stuff. And I got caught up with Johnny Taylor. I said, let me get off that thing, man. You know. I started to bring Johnny Taylor with me to church today. But I said, no, I ain't going to bring Johnny Taylor to church. Okay. But I'm on that iPad, man. Just, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm not going to tell you what it were. Okay. But But I said, let me get off this stuff, man. But in that nightclub, that Sunday night, man, somebody got danced with somebody's girlfriend. And they all, you know, we all have been out, we're all hot and stinking and sweaty. And so this guy go to shooting in the crowded place, man. One way in, one way out. Don't ever go to a club with one door. If you're going to go to a club, you survey it out. Is there a back door? Is there a window? Are there bars in the window? If y'all all right? If not, I ain't going to be that hole. So that guy get to fighting. We start scattering like roaches when lights come on. He go to shoot, man. I run out the door, and a bullet came out the window right by my ear. I heard the bullet sing, zing, right by my ear. That night, I was supposed to die, but God saw this day. God saw this day. The devil was trying to wipe out my potential because he knew. Look how many lives I'm touching this morning. We're streaming. Look at my lives around the world we're touching this morning. But if he could have stopped me then, we'd never known from Willie Taylor about the first cup. He want to rob your potential, make you a slave. Then I'd like to drown about twice. I mean, I'm not talking about just going on to come on. I'm talking about going out for a third time. I'm like, help, help. You know, I thought I could swim. I couldn't swim. I thought I could because we swim. All right. No, because we go swimming in a little mud creek about that deep. You're swimming in the mud. You know what I mean? Like that. I can swim. Y'all all right? And so man, when that Sunday after dinner, man, we go out there and jump in this pit where they dug the dirt out to build a highway. That thing like 25, 30 feet deep. And my friend Dale wolfing that thing. I'm going behind him. And I was going down, man. And I was hollering, help, help, help. And my friend, brother, dove in and picked me up and brought me to safety. And I got back in the body of water for a long time. But it's like my friend's mama told him, said, boy, don't get in that water until you know how to swim. Y'all miss all that. Y'all miss all that. You can't learn how to swim until you get in the water. Oh, y'all miss it. Okay. All right. Number three. Number one, he forced them to make brick. Number two, he killed the baby. Number three, he required them to collect their own straw. Slavery wasn't enough. I got your bondage. Now work for me. Pharaoh makes them get their own straw. Now added more to the pile. Extra work. Overload. How many of y'all overloaded this morning? Work, work, work. Working two jobs. And trying to see how I can get a third job up in here. You know, and you're juggling things. Well, if I miss church this Sunday, I can take that. Maybe they let me work every other Sunday. I can take that job. Y'all all right? Now you're collecting your straw. You left the favor to go to labor. No, that's what Pharaoh does. That's what sin does. That's what being trapped does. He can make you labor and sweat all your days and never enjoy what you sweat it for. You lay it up, but someone else is going to enjoy it. Y'all all right? So Satan wants to wear you out. Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Wear them out. Let them get tired. They come to church tired, wore out. They're sleepy kids like they on drugs. They can't hold their head up high. You know what I mean? They're just all gone as zombies. You know, church is not excited anymore because all I want is another game. You know what? We're worn out, man. They never beat us up. Collecting your own straw, making your own way, paying your own dues. Jesus came to make it better. Said Jesus came to make it better. So if people say, Pastor, I'm tired of all this. I'm tired all the time. I can't get past. I can't keep up the pace. I'm overloaded. I'm stressed out. I'm stressed to the limit. Patient level low. Sugar level low. You're angry easily. You just make it worse, man. You know. And when you're tired, you make bad decisions. Don't ever go to a bank when you're tired. Go to a business deal when you're tired. No, you go to bed. Get some good sleep. Y'all all right? Shall I drink from the first cup? So, if that's you this morning, I've been praying for you. You maybe feel like on the edge or I feel like giving up. Give up on life, on family, even marriage. Shut don't give up. See, I've been praying for you. And I believe the Bible said the prayers of a righteous man avail much. I'm a righteous man. I know I'm a righteous man. I'm a righteous man by choice. I choose to live right. Not because I was born righteous. I was born like you were, a real demon. But I live free from sin, free from slavery by choice. Now, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ by choice. I'm a righteous man. I don't need you to toot the horn and say amen. No, but I've been praying for you that you don't give up, that life won't suck you up. I've been praying that you be able to have the strength to walk through. So three things, right quick, like, the enemy wants to do to you, enslave you, empty you, and exhaust you. enslave you, empty you, and exhaust you. I need to move from there. Let me get another. I got a lot of stuff here. Look at the cup of sanctification. God, I need a little. I got 5 minutes. Pray, Lord. It all starts with this first cup. Deliverance, restoration, redemption. When I say salvation, I'm not talking about joining the church, because we got a bad interpretation and definition of salvation. We think salvation, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to listen. No, salvation is making a difference. It's not making a difference. All right, okay. Oh, boy. Oh, let me see. So, I got to find some spots here, because I got 5 minutes, and I need to find somewhere to close. How did we get here? Well, we just drifted. We didn't connect to nobody, nowhere, no church. We didn't connect nowhere. I told you when you get saved, you ought to get baptized, and you ought to get in a small group. You ought to join a church. You ought to get connected. Shall connect it. When you're by yourself, you're going to drift. You need somebody to help you stay focused. So we didn't, and there again, we won't admit that's a problem. See, when you don't admit that's a problem, that's a problem. You know you keep going back to the junkie state, you know, and you keep doing stuff you don't want to do. You keep being pulled back into stuff that you know you're not supposed to be into because you walk into it praying, Lord, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, forgive me, Lord Jesus, forgive me. So you know you're supposed to be there. Am I right? Am I fooling anybody but myself? No. He said you won't admit that's a problem. How do we get there? By not admitting that's a problem. Well, we're too busy. Too busy to pray, too busy to spend time with God, too busy to get in the Word, too busy to come to church, too busy to fellowship. You know, no, you got to stay connected. Should I stay connected? So we didn't mean to get that way. It just happened. We just drifted away. Maybe someone led you astray. You know, you can follow wrong people. You follow wrong people. They're good people, just at the wrong moment. Timing. I told the guy the other day, I said, I like what you're doing, I like your fellowship, but for me right now, the timing is not right. Timing. I don't need to be a part of that when the timing and the season not right. Because if I go out of season, I'm going to be frustrated. See? I'm going to be irritated because I'm out of purpose. So timing is very important. So you had a bad, you had a bad experience. Cut the clock off. You had a bad experience with church, with someone else. You thought it was about that situation, but it wasn't about that situation. It was really about what caused the situation. It was about something down inside of you that caused you to act like that. Because you can change position, and in a few days, you'll be like that again. You change companies, okay? It's your dead-end company. You change company. After a while, you get tired, and they find fault there again. They're paying the same amount of money they paid over there, doing the same stuff. Y'all all right? No. But the whole point is it's about let's get us straight. So how did we get there? We made bad choices. Generational choices. Following mom and dad, they made bad choices. I remember when God told me to come to the city, I told my pastor, look, I want to be my own man. You know, I couldn't find what I was looking for here. I couldn't find a church building that I could afford, you know, and I couldn't afford nothing. I didn't have no money, but I don't know what I was looking for, but I had a heart to come. And so he said, come on back, I'll give you some of my appointments. I said, no, I want to be my own man. I believe it's time for me to break out the mold. Shall I break out the mold? So I want to be my own man. All right, y'all, can I get a few minutes extra? And so he said we made bad choices. So made some reckless choices, wasting our lives away. It's just miserable. So that's what happened to the children of Israel. They ended up in Egypt, drifted away, betrayed, bad choices, never thinking it will end this way. We make decisions, never thinking it can end up bad. You know how many people in the grave today because they never thought it'd end up this way? How many people in divorce because they never thought it would end this way? You know, you cheat here, cheat there, a little here, a little there. You never thought of catching with you, but eventually sin gonna slow walk you down. Y'all all right? I'm telling you, the unrighteous shall be exposed. Shall the unrighteous shall be exposed. And it's not that God trying to expose you, but he's exposing sin. And because you're under the blanket with sin, you get exposed. Everything under the blanket with sin gonna be uncovered. There's nothing here in the Bible that shall not be manifested. Y'all all right? Y'all got quiet. So number two is, how do we get out? Pastor, you told me I got there. How to get out? Good question. If the first promise from God is to bring us out of bondage, how do we drink from this cup? That's so important. We have the wrong idea about church. Because I joined the church, I'm coming out. No, because you join something don't make you free. You're gonna accept the cup by faith. Number one, shout by faith. So all right, this is good. So. We got number one, how we get out. We got to make the move. Shall I make the move? Make the move. The word is repent. Shout repent. It's not an ugly word. God repented. So it's not an ugly word. And repent means you have a change of mind or change of direction. Just mean, Pastor, now let me help you. Righteous people ought to repent. It's not that we're in sin and just doing some immoral stuff. It just means that we're out of time and out of season. Just repent. Shout repent. See, we have a spirit of lethargy, not leprosy, but lethargy, laziness on us, good word, and we need to repent for being lazy. I don't feel like going to church today. What you mean? What they got to do with anything? God said, get up and go. I don't feel like it. When you become your own boss now, when you start making your own decision, I thought he was Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now you become your own Lord. Y'all don't like Willie Taylor. I was doing pretty good when I talked about Israel, didn't I? No. He said, no, we got to repent. Shout repent. So you got to make a decision. Change direction. If you're tired of where you are, it's time to make a move. You've known it for a long time. I got to do something. What do I do? You repent, right? Come on. I mean, you know, that's so simple. If I'm tired of the same old life and same old being trapped, same old being enslaved, same old being bound by this, he said, just repent, boy. Drink the cup, and then we can walk on to a different direction. I can't continue in greatness. I can't be in greatness if I continue in laziness. Lazy people never become great, and they never do great stuff. They're never known for inventing nothing or creating something or being a hero and none of that stuff. Lazy people always run from challenges. I don't want to get involved. Well, stay that way. So he told them to leave Egypt. 2 Corinthians 6, 17, 18. Therefore, he said, come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord. Touch not an unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I will be your father to you. And you will be my son and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. So you can't be in two places at the same time. You can't be in Egypt and Goshen at the same time. You can't be in darkness and light at the same time. He said, make a decision where you want to dwell. Do you want to dwell in Egypt with them, be there, and be satisfied? You know, one of the disheartening things to God was when Israel came out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness crying, you brought us out here to kill us. We had garlic and onion and leeches back in Egypt. Let us go back. Go back to what? Garlic and onions? Can you imagine the breath of that group? All day long, the devil give you garlic and onions. You can't connect with garlic and onions, all right? People always run from you. You have breath of mint, breath of mint, breath of mint. No, my point is we always want to go back to sin. Go back to where we come out of. No, we're changing our mind. Shout, I'm changing my mind. All right, so we got to change my direction. Number two, when I get out, I got to let it go. Shall I let it go? Hey, Rashid, run in my office, I collect near my top brother's pocket knife, the big brown pocket knife. I'm going to let it go. Shall I let it go? I'm not going to cut y'all. Don't get upset. No, I'm going to make you repent today. You're going to repent. Hey, so I'm going to cut you. This is not the ISIS group. Okay. No. But I'm going to show you how. You locked it up. Give me a butcher knife. Shoot, anything. Hurry. I'm out of time. Hurry. Okay, watch this now. You got an SQ? SQ got one. Is it real sharp, SQ? SQ got everything. Don't bring a gun out. Give me the dull side. He got the MacGyver knife. What am I got? Praise the Lord. Okay, the dull one. Okay, all right. Okay. All right. Yeah, they got a lot of gear. That's what you've been sowing boo over there. Okay. SQ got everything. Well, I saw a guy on TV the other day. Yesterday, they were hunting. He caught a quail right there. Look at SQ. Everyone caught that bird with that. Look at SQ. Look, shall I let it go? I would do a child, but I don't risk it to SQ's knife. If it's my knife, I would do it. Okay. But look now. If I'm holding this knife like this, this is the sharp end, right? And if somebody's trying to get that knife from me, they're gonna pull it. They're gonna cut my hand, right? That's bad. So what we're saying is when you want to let go, the devil, he wanna hold you in. But you gotta let it go. Shall I let it go? When you let it go, it won't hurt you. But you got to hold on to it, and God trying to pull you out of there, trying to bring you hold on to sin, won't let it go. No, you use a struggle to come free. Shall let it go. I mean, come on, man. He is not that good. Thank you, SQ. Shoot. We can go, honey, we can live 20 years with that knife there. That's a survivor kit. Praise the Lord. Thank you, bro. No, no. He said, no, we gotta let things go. We cannot hold on to two things at the same time. He said, now, if I'm going to drink from this cup, I can't drink of the cup of redemption, the cup of sanctification, and hold on to the world's cup, too. See, if I'm going to understand my growth track, it's not to condemn me. It's to help me to grow, to call me to grow to bigger and better things. God said, I'm coming to bring you out of bondage from under the yoke of the Egyptian. See, I'm tired of you, my people, being in captivity. Can't have no freedom in your life. Can't do nothing. You know, can't go nowhere. I want you to enjoy the grace. Shout the grace. I didn't talk about the precious promise of 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4 because I don't have time. But he said, I want to bring you out. I'm out anyway. Next, number three is commit your life. It's not enough to repent. It's not enough to let it go. And that's what would happen. We repented over and over and over again. We let things go, but we didn't commit. We didn't commit. See, commitment comes, man, when I learn what 401 is all about, when I learn the dream team, when I learn how to get involved and get to working, man, and get in and become a servant. I don't know why folks don't get involved with church work. I don't want to be in nobody's way. Them folks ain't right no way. Let me help you. You got folks in your job ain't right. You ain't quitting your job. That's on your biggest crooks on your job. Racist and hatred and liars and homongers and adulterers. Y'all all right? You ain't quit that. You're trying to find overtime to be them longer. All right? Well, shout, get involved. God needs you involved in church, man. Find out what can I do in church, Pastor? That's something you can do. Hallelujah. You know what disturbs me? I thought some brothers see it, but what disturbs me is I ride by and look at the gutter. There's a tree growing in the gutter on top of the building there. And nobody saw it but Willie Taylor. I know the brothers didn't see it because they got it down. Anybody said nothing? Anybody said, I get it tomorrow, Pastor. Anybody said nothing? Anybody said nothing? So we got to commit. So it's not enough just to come out. You got to pursue something else. No longer a slave to the devil, but a slave to God. Y'all all right? So Romans 6:19, read up when you get time. So here's the key word, relationship. Relationship. You need to have a relationship. If there's no relationship and no fellowship, there are no staying in the ship. Y'all all right? No, really. That was just fresh off the press. Tweet that. All right. Okay. No. My point is, if I don't have a relationship with him, man, I'm going to have one with someone else. Because we were made for relationship. We were created. That's why he said, I'm going to bring you out unto myself. I'll be your God and you'll be my people. What? Relationships. You need to find a good relationship in the church. Not just lottie-body, anybody. Okay? You need to find God to direct you to relationship. All right, let me hear. Okay. So. You need to make the break. Shall I make the break? Go for it all. So, I'm out of time. Been out. Okay, let's stand. Let's pray. Y'all good? Let me just quit randomly. Y'all enjoy that this morning? Okay, have we learned this morning the importance of church membership? No. When I drink of this cup of sanctification, it's gonna connect me to church membership, to the body of Christ, number one. The first body, his connection to him. And then he will connect us in the body as it pleases him, see? He'll show us where to serve. Father, I thank you for the word this morning. I give you praise and glory for what you're attempting to do in this church, in this body, in the world of life. How you are attempting to bring us to a new place in you, a place we read about, we looked forth and saw it, but never enjoyed it. It's like the promised land that's looking at us, and we're watching it, but we cannot make the connection. But thank you for the purpose and the process, how to make the connection to that promise that's been waiting for us all these years. For over 3,500 years, you made these promises to the righteous. I thank you this morning that we're here to connect. We're here to make a difference. We're here now. Find out, God, what can you do for me? How can you help change my life? How can you make it better for me? As you make it better for me, I'll make it better for you. If you help me, I'll help you. There's those you want to reach, but you need me to help you. But I need you to help me first. So this morning, Father, I agree to take the first step. I'll drink from the cup of sanctification. I'll drink this morning. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him praise. Why are you standing this morning? Why are you standing? I don't know what has happened in your heart while I was teaching the word of faith today. I don't know what happened. But if you this morning had a conviction of heart this morning, the pastor, I know I need to do something. I know I can't continue where I am, because where I am is not satisfying. I feel, like you said, trapped and stuck. And I tried this, I tried that, and like the Message Bible said, I mean, what's left? I mean, after all, that's what it's about. You know, I'm here.